Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I'm not going to lie to you. Those were two of the worst playoff games I've ever watched. It was. I mean, just completely one-sided. Celtics eliminate and you know, not competitive whatsoever. Celtics eliminate the Heat. I exercise the demon that had kept them out of the finals last year. I'm going to stop short of saying Heat culture is dead, but, man, it was nasty to watch last night. They were so shorthanded. Obviously, already without Butler and Rozier, but you take Jaime Jaquez out of that thing. It's just Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero trying to shoot a bunch of jumpers. So it wasn't fun to watch. They did finish off Miami 118-84. We'll talk about that as much we need to. And then Dallas, though, the same thing. I mean, they took care of the Clippers, and by the third quarter, you knew what it was about to be. You knew that Brad was covering. Fade Brad, by the way, 1-1 yesterday. A split of the two, and now I'm kind of with John. It's better when there's three. Right, because you get either a winning or a losing record. So I don't know how much we'll talk about last night's games. We will certainly talk about NBA playoffs, and particularly tonight. I would hope tonight's two playoff games going to be a little bit more competitive. Got Bucks Pacers. Pacers up 3-2, and then at 8 p.m. we've got Knicks Sixers. Knicks obviously up 3-2, having blown a 6-point lead with less than 30 seconds to go. Looking forward to that one. Speaking of Knicks 76ers, you see the NBA announced that the referees blew it in Game 5?
I didn't see this.
Said that Tyrese Maxey traveled on that 4-point play and that it shouldn't have been allowed.
Well,
remember, that's after Game 2 where they said they blew it, that Tyrese Maxey was fouled, right, and actually given the Knicks the chance to come back. So they, according to the NBA, they've sort of blown it here twice. Either way, you still got a good series, but I was listening to the argument this morning. I don't know that it does us any good at this point to come back and say you got it wrong. And maybe, I mean, frankly, when you do that, you what you're saying is the outcome could have been different if we didn't screw up. I don't know that that's a good thing for the NBA. I appreciate the accountability, but I'm not sure it helped in this situation. Deion Sanders, man. You see him and Shadour, they got time.
I did see this.
They
this
got
ESPN reporting and some other outlets.
Yeah, they've been clapping back at the haters, as ESPN put it, and it's true. And then, obviously, you got Riverbeat Music Festival starting up tomorrow. That's big because it's the first one, right? This is a transition time. And I don't know if you saw it, Brad. I was tweeting about it. It doesn't look like many people saw it because I think I'm still shadow banned. John's the one that tells me whether I am or not. So I'm not sure my stuff even goes out there. But did you see TNT has picked a side in the Drake?
Oh yeah,
Kendrick Lamar
they played this new diss track.
They picked a side, we'll talk about that before we do all that. Let me set up the show. 11:30 or so, we'll talk to Drew Hill, Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian, like we do every Thursday. He's a married man now, so that's awesome. Congratulations again to him. And we'll talk some Grizzlies and how we're going to watch them this fall with that, you know. The information we saw, you won't have them on Xfinity. If that goes into the fall, we know right now you can't watch Cardinals baseball games on it. He had that story over at the Daily Memphian. Also, I'm told that Drew is a Kentucky Derby expert, which helps me quite a bit. Because as we look toward the Kentucky Derby, maybe Drew can help me pick a favorite, right? And this won't be, we're going to keep Faye Brad what it is.
We'll actually ask
Drew to pick a favorite that he believes is going to win, although we do ask you the same question, and you pick with integrity. Unfortunately, you're just not a good bettor.
No.
And that's fine. We've accepted it, and we've also proved a point with it, right?
Yes.
Betting is losing.
It is.
Unless you're fading Brad Carson. At 12:40 or so, we'll do that. Aforementioned segment, Fade Brad, the segment that is sweeping the nation. And no, we didn't get an 0-2 from him last night like we'd gotten the 0-3 from him the night before. It was a 1-1 night. We'll see what Brad's got tonight in terms of the picks. Remember, no prep. Don't be doing any prep.
No, there's very limited
prep.
We
want you fresh for these picks. And then at 1:25, we'll talk to Daily Memphian columnist Jeff Calkins, host of the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11 a.m. here on 929 FM ESPN. He's got a column up about Gabrielle Rose. Did you read it?
I didn't.
She has a chance. It's going to be tough. She's 46, but she's got a chance to be in the Olympics.
Wow.
46-year-old swimmer, daughter of Mike Rose, Memphis philanthropists. Good story, good column by Jeff. I don't even know if he talked about it on his show. I did read it though. I want to hold it, and I'm going to let him know that when we talk to him at 1:25. So lots to get to, but I wanted to start and really spend most of this first segment on the situation at Collierville High School with the two fired basketball coaches. Because, Brad, I feel like I've got a better sort of grasp on things now than we did yesterday when, you know, initially there's just the Channel 24 story, right, about the firings of the two coaches, but mostly about, you know, Sean Taggart obviously was the boys' basketball coach. He's out. Sean Taggart has posted that, you know, while he's disappointed and wasn't really told why, said that no wrong was done, that kind of thing. Now, I did see him on Facebook, a little side note, sidebar to that story, did see him on Facebook seeking out lawyers. You know, if. So I'm not sure if that's related to this or whatever else, but did see Sean Taggart. So perhaps he's got another story than what he posted. But obviously, most of the talk about this story has centered on the girls' basketball coach, Patty Gardner, who's also out of a job, coming off what was, by all accounts, and from what I gather, both from Mark Giannotto's story, because that story's been advanced now, and Credit Channel 24, where Patty Gardner also works, for having that story first. Mark wrote a story yesterday. We talked to him about it. It had just come out. And he was basically still in fact-finding mode. He was a reporter yesterday. Their preps guy's gone, so Mark was doing the reporter work. He wasn't really speaking to us in his usual tone of columnist, right? Mark was just coming off gathering all the facts. We've also had John Varlas do a story for the Daily Memphian, and I've reached out to a parent of one of the players on the Collierville team, and so for all those reasons, I feel a lot more equipped today to sort of weigh in terms of how I feel about the situation. And here is the situation for those that are just getting caught up. Yes, Sean Taggart is out, but Sean Taggart isn't claiming what Patty Gardner is claiming. She's claiming she's out because of white privilege. Which, again, you know, raises eyebrows because in this case, you know, you usually hear that from black folks. Patty Gardner is white. She's pointed out she's married to a black man, has mixed kids like me. And I'm not sure that that's exactly relevant to the story. But I'm going to tell you this before real quick. I believe her. Here's what she said. Patty Gardner, who's now out as the Collierville high school girls basketball coach, coming off the most successful season in 35 years. It's white privilege. This is from the story at the Daily Memphian. John Varlas talked to her as well as Mark Giannotto. This is from John Varlas. It's white privilege. It's these parents from Collierville West, it's the middle school, who have money. Last year, four girls came over, and they were promised starting positions by Jeff Curtis. That's Collierville School's athletic director. I didn't start any of them, and some of them barely got any playing time, but they grew. And so basically, the story that she's told is that these parents of the girls that are not, the girls that are coming over both from Collierville West and the ones that got there last year aren't happy because their girls aren't playing. And they're obviously behind some other very talented girls. And in some cases, yes, it looks like to me I've sort of gotten, you know, Mark Giannotto wrote that Patty said the team's about 50-50. I got a list, and it looks like about seven. I think seven of the players are black. And in this case, as Patty said, many of those kids that had come over, and it sounds like many that might be coming over, white, not as talented, and some of the parents aren't happy with that. Okay, that's pretty much the nuts and bolts, and it's what she's saying. It's what she's accused. Now, her dismissal comes a week after they had dismissed the black assistant, girls assistant basketball coach. So really it's three. It's not just Sean and Patty. It's also the assistant basketball coach, girls basketball coach, who was black. And so, of course, you know, we've sort of looked at this story and said, is it racism? Is it white privilege? Is it the private school mentality of where you've got, you know, one or two very, you know, wealthy parents who want their children to play? They want that experience for their children, and they're going to make it easy for them, right, by complaining, by saying, you know, this is ours. We're coming. We're in Collierville. This is our district. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you're smiling at me, but you get what I'm saying, right?
I am saying yes.
Okay. What Collierville Schools is essentially saying, in essence, is we don't want our white girls playing behind talented black girls, and they're doing it by caving in to the parents that have forced this move. That is my take on this situation. Basically, those parents are saying, to hell with the success of the team, to hell with teaching camaraderie, cooperation, sportsmanship among a group of girls that some of come from different backgrounds and don't look like you. To hell with that. We'd rather lose and be comfortable, frankly, making it easier for our daughters. That's what. And some of that, yes, you can say, is the old, you know, private school mentality where, you know, those rich parents are going to have their sway. They're going to have their say. But I don't want to dismiss, and it feels like there's a lot of that going on, that it's just that. There's absolutely inherent racism in that. This reeks of, this is ours, not theirs. Three of those seven, from what I have gathered, three of those seven black girls are in district. Okay? Yes, four of them are transfers. All of them clearly talented. Some of them, you know, were all coming off the bench. They weren't all-star. But three of them are in district. So my point is, Brad, it's theirs too. But this reeks of the sort of, and Patty said, it's the good old boy mentality. You know, these are the same types of folks that when, and I don't care what you say, that when black folks move into the neighborhood, there's a grumbling, right? There's a muttering either under your breath or to your spouse, oh man, here we go. Right. And I get it. You know, you want it easy. You want it to be like you. You want things to be streamlined in a way to make it as easy as possible and give your daughters the most opportunity possible. But you realize what you're teaching them is just that. I'm going to try to make it easy for you rather than earned. You understand what I'm saying? You're dismissing the life skills. Set aside basketball. And skills. You're dismissing, Brad, the life skills that they could be gaining, right, in terms of coming together and spending time with folks of diverse backgrounds, girls of other backgrounds. There's that. So you're just dismissing that will be of any value to them. We would rather just have them be all white, essentially, be like us. And if we lose, we lose. You know, we're not so worried about that. We just want good situations for our girls. My thing is that if it was just about basketball, then why not take your girls? This is where I go back to the this is ours mentality. If it's just about basketball, why not take your girls to another school? You certainly have the means to do so, where perhaps there is less talent. And then perhaps, and you will be allowed, or let's put it real, given the opportunity to play rather than earn it. Why don't they do that, Brad? Why don't they just say, you know, because we see it all over. Why not take your child, who you want a good basketball experience for, obviously. Why not take them to another school? If basketball is so damn important to you, have them play somewhere else where they'll be given the chance to start, where there's less talent, rather than somewhere where they've got to earn it. I believe Patty. I think she was proud of what she had built. I've covered Collierville high school teams during my prep days at the commercial field, spent 7 years doing it. And I'll tell you this, from my experience, most of them weren't 50-50. I think what Patty had built was a great thing, Brad. Again, best team in 35 years, sure, that's great success. But also in terms of white and black 50-50 at Collierville, that's different than it used to be. That's good. That's a good thing for your girls, okay? I'm not going to read you the whole letter, but I will say this, that I read it, what one of the parents sent to the administration, practically begging them not to fire these two coaches, okay? And I won't read you all of it, but I do want to read you this part because I think it's important. If accountability is expected of teachers and administrators, then we should expect parents to be accountable of what lessons we are teaching our kids. Number one, the lessons of seeking mediation and allowing room for improvement and growth. Number two, the lessons of tolerance and leadership and teaching styles from others that don't share common backgrounds. Three, the lesson that entitlement will not be tolerated in public, academic, and athletic institutions. We have earned the right to seek success from these three rules with Collierville women's basketball. And I hope you make the tough choice to keep the coaches, right? And again, this is a long letter, and so why it was described as tough, because again, I tell you, they were successful in anything. She'd built you something that was proud of, is deeper in the letter. Won't go that deep into it. Don't want to get too far in the weeds. But this is one of the parents of a black child. What do you think of what he said?
I really like it.
I did too. And it's kind of where I'm coming from, and it's helped frame my opinion on this. Guess what Collierville said in response to the letter?
I'm interested.
They didn't respond. Now, this letter goes on and on about how great this year was, what they'd hope to do coming in the future. You know, Nikki McCray played out at Collierville, Hall of Famer. We lost her, rest in peace, recently to cancer, if I'm not mistaken. And I hope I'm not wrong on that. I'm pretty sure I am. But she had been a star out there, and there are big plans in terms of, naming things for. There's a pride back in that program that hadn't been there for a long time. And let me tell you, when Nikki McCray played out there, it was a lot different in terms of the makeup of that team. But back to the point, this parent was proud of what they'd done. Not just proud because his daughter and the other black girls on the team are doing well, but proud of what they'd built, proud that this thing had come together and was the most successful thing in 35 years. So back to the point, what's Collierville teaching their students when you make a move like this? Like, even with Taggart, I mean, by all accounts, and it wasn't his most successful season this past year, but he'd been successful. You know, they're going through coaches like a turnstile. It's almost a separate situation, though, because some of those with Cedric Henderson, with Scott Robinson, different situations, but it's been a turnstile. But I'm mainly speaking of what they're teaching them in this situation. They're teaching them that the parents run the thing. You know, you're teaching them that you'll fold. Because you should be proud of what this coach had put together, you know, of what this coach had built. And yeah, it looked different than previous Collierville teams. But you should be absolutely proud of that. And so the reason I'm disappointed in Collierville, but I'm also disgusted by the fact that you wouldn't even respond to what's clearly a letter that's been well thought out. I think hits the nail on the head, and it's not worth a response. Like, that's not the way you treat parents over there that have done everything that you've asked of them. What's so weird about this is that there were no, like, formal complaints about these coaches. Like, I kept waiting to read another, you know, shoe to drop. Well, she did have this in her file. Wasn't any of that. You know, this woman, who, oh, by the way, was just helping her sister, Mark pointed it out, and I read it again in Giannotto's story. I didn't know it until Mark told me yesterday. Her sister just recently passed away of cancer. It's Derek Lively's mom. We had talked about Derek Lively playing through these playoffs, having just lost his mom. I had seen that story. Comes back to here. She'd been trying to go through that. Comes back, finds out basically she's got no job. I mean, you know, how does that work? So I am disgusted by the way that Collierville has handled this. And again, even if you had decided, you know what, man, we're just tired of all the complaints. Forget the wealthy parent and the McDonald's owners that got all the pull. But if you had just sort of decided, we're tired of the mess, all the complaints, we got one side saying they want us to clean out, right? If you had just decided that you want to move on or whatever else, that's one thing. But not to respond to the, not to get the common decency of responding to
parents who and giving them an answer for why you're making this move, and to say, you know, the cop out is and it, apparently it hadn't been the case, but the cop out they've used from an administrative standpoint is we want folks that are full time teachers to be our coaches, right? That's what they've used here instead of responding to parents and really telling them why this is happening. So I guess where I come down on this is, you know, yesterday when we're getting more details from Mark, again, coming off of Channel 24 breaking this story, you could easily chalk this up to, man, it's like it's, and I said it yesterday with Mark. Oh, man, I've seen that all the time in private schools because the parents of the kids that got the money, they got the pull. But there's more to it than that with this one, man. There's more, there's way more in terms of this is ours and we're not going to play behind you, you know, more competitive, you know, more talented girls that you've brought in the case. It looks like maybe four of them are transfers. I think three are in district. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We want it easy. We want our girls to play. That's what it reeks of, man. And that's laced with racism. It's laced with white privilege. I mean, we can say it's money, power, and influence, but where's the money and the power and the influence? It's with the white folks. It's with the white folks. So I'm so disappointed that something that looked like, and again, I'm not on the inside. I'm not going to tell you I'm some expert because I've, you know, talked to a parent and read all these stories. But something that looked like it was a success. It's 50-50 white and black. It's working great. Best team in 35 years. They were, Jeffrey pointed out, they were one game, I think, away from making the state.
Yeah, it was working.
And you want to tear that down, fire the coach that helped build it, who by all accounts, you know, good for her. She's right. This has been going on too long. Somebody needed to stand up about it. But oh, so many times in our society today, once somebody plays that race card, people stop listening. Right? And I'll say this. It's been played so many times, the race card, in so many situations. And I'm not talking about high school. I'm just talking about in our, you know, conversations, discussions today. A lot of times, Brad, when the race card's played, half of us tune out. That's an excuse. That's an excuse. She stood up knowing full well she was going to hear that. And if you go and read any of the comments on a Mark Giannato's story on X or whatever else, you'll see some of that. She was full aware she's going to hear some of that. You know, even though this is a different situation where it's not a black person saying white privilege, this is a white person telling you white privilege. I just can't get over how ugly that is.
It's the second week in a row we've had a
story.
What are
you teaching them?
Well, it's the second week in a row Mark has been reporting on. You know, we had the column last week from Mark about the athletic director at Memphis and calling for it to be the first African-American for that post.
Yeah.
And then this week is obviously a different type of story, but one connected to the two coaches out there at Collierville. And I think you're spot on. I mean, it's just never going to come out, though, because they're not going to respond.
If you this is where I'll come down on it. If you really wanted your girls to get better, you'd have them practicing against these black girls.
Yes,
right.
You bring that team together and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that thing rolling.
You would.
Yes,
you're trying to make it as easy for them as possible. It's wrong. It's teaching your kids you're going to make it easier for them.
Those are the rules.
You won't have to go out there and earn it.
She also was constructing the team out of district, in district, based on the rules that were in front of her.
Right.
Don't hate the player. This is the rules.
Right.
You know, it was set up to do this.
But if you just want a good basketball experience for your girls, and I'm talking about those you know, West Collierville parents, and you see all that talent over there that your girl's going to play behind, man, just take them to another school.
Rather than getting the coach
fired who built something great.
There's also a third option, and here's that option. Work through some adversity and get better.
That's not an option. They've made that clear. They just got the coach fired. We've already X'd that one out.
They don't want to do that.
X'd that one out. It's theirs, Brad.
Yep.
This is ours.
Right.
It's a damn shame. And again, anybody that's saying this isn't laced with racism, it's just wrong. I'm not a guy who plays the race card a ton. You know, I think a lot of people expected me to be that. This is a clear case, man. This ain't just, you know, who's got the money. This is white folks want to keep it white folks. That's sad because you had something good out there. I hate it for those girls. They had a good assistant coach and a good head coach, it looks like. Really great situation. White ones and the black ones. Whole damn team, Brad. They want it back to all white, what sounds like to me. And again, I would challenge any Collierville West Middle parent, please call in and tell me different. Tell me why this is better than what you had. Sounds like to me you'd rather lose as long as your girls play and have it easy. Don't have to earn anything. It's ridiculous. We're going to talk to Drew Hill. We'll mostly talk about Grizzlies. We will talk Kentucky Derby as well. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to Jason John, 929.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
ESPN.
Drew Hill is the Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. Read him at DailyMemphian.com and follow him on X at Drew_DM. He joins us now, like he does every Thursday at this time. So grateful to have him. Drew, does it feel any different, man, coming back as a, you know, married man now? You feel different? You feel the same? Is work the same?
It's different in the way that you're no longer stressing about planning a wedding and having everything try to go off perfectly.
Yes.
So that's nice. I mean, it's been pretty nice to just, like, and it's kind of the downtime a little bit of the season. I mean, we're doing draft work, but we're not, you know, covering a playoff series right now, unfortunately. So life's a little bit slower now, and that's okay by me, man. It was craziness for a little bit. But it feels great, man. Feels great.
Well, you deserve the break after the season that you had, and I understand that was probably like trying to get through a marathon because we all knew how it was going to end. It was just a matter of trying to, you know, craft it. And I suppose the rise of Gigi and Vince, that certainly helped with that. But that's a tough season to cover. So I'm glad that it's slowing down a little bit for you. Obviously going to pick up with the draft lottery and everything else. In terms of these, real quick, Drew, you wrote the story about the Xfinity customers having to look elsewhere possibly for Grizzlies. You know, with everything up in the air in terms of how we're going to consume Grizzlies on give me the skinny on that. Is there any way that there is a resolution by the time we get to the fall? Or if you are on Xfinity right now and you're not getting Cardinals games because there is no more Bally's there, are you going to have to go somewhere else this fall?
This fall when we get to the Grizzlies, it'll be worked out. I think you may have to go somewhere else, but at least there's time for them to reach some sort of agreement. I think that it's, and this is, I'm not reporting this, this is just kind of what I've heard, is maybe that this is like a tier issue, like that Xfinity wants to have Bally on its own like tier that you pay for. Bally doesn't want that. Mm. So like they're in this dispute. All that matters is that they're in this dispute and it's they can't get it worked out. So there are other options.
You mentioned them in your story. FuboTV, DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, which I'm on, and you've always got that Bally Sports app, right?
Right. But, I mean, the other thing is that, you know, you got to remember, most people in Memphis, they have Xfinity, like, or they've cut the cord already. You know, like, those are kind of DirecTV Stream. I've had that a little bit, but I feel like that there's no way that can be as popular as standard cable.
Yeah,
so, like, this is impacting a lot of people. I do think that, I mean, of course, we're going to have some sort of way to watch the Grizzlies by the time the season starts. And it does feel like, you know, we're at the point where Amazon is so heavily involved, both with Diamond Sports Group, which owns Bally's, and in trying to, I guess, help bail them out a little bit, and with the NBA, although it seems like this NBA Amazon Prime deal where you're going to get a lot of the regular season games on Amazon Prime isn't really going to take effect until the season after next. But I think we're headed that direction. I know that's not exactly new news. That's kind of been in the air. But this is significant, I think. Like, I have Xfinity Cable because I want to watch the Memphis Grizzlies. And I actually canceled it. And Chris Harrington did the same thing.
That's why I went from YouTube TV to DirecTV Stream to get Bally's.
Exactly.
Why I made the move.
The app doesn't work because the app doesn't work. That's the frustrating thing about this. I had signed up for Hulu TV or whatever, YouTube TV, and I was going to use the Bally's app, and like literally two of the first three games, the app didn't work, and I was like, this is my job. Like, I'm not traveling to every away game early in the season. I got to be able to watch the Grizzlies, so I'm going to go back to cable. Well, now they can't work that out. So it's a mess. It'll be figured out by the start of the season. I feel bad for Cardinals fans because obviously this has an impact on that, and Major League Baseball with the way that they do blackouts is totally ridiculous. So, you know, and somebody responded to me, I don't know if this is true, but somebody responded to me yesterday on that tweet with the story and said, you can't even watch the Cardinals on the Bally Sports app. And if that's the case, I don't know how you can watch the Cardinals right now.
Like, you can't.
Brad's one of those guys.
I'm an Xfinity customer. You can't, Drew.
You can't get them anywhere.
We're screwed. You'd have to pay the MLB Network monthly fee, which is like $35. It's like over $100, $150, $200, $300. It's crazy.
That's just insane.
Drew, I'm assuming that Grizzlies workouts, right, ahead of the draft are going on. And you can school me on this. I saw that the Tulane point guard, Zion James, was in town. I think, you know, some either for a workout for the Grizzlies. I know he's in the transfer portal as well, but he's testing the NBA waters, or perhaps a visit. Any info on him and whether those are going on? It used to be, Drew, this was easy because the Grizzlies would release the names and we would know. I mean, I'm talking, I guess this has been years ago now, and forgive me because I don't remember how many. But they'd give you the list of guys coming to work out. They didn't feel like they do that anymore. It seemed like they're private. Was he here for Grizzlies?
Yeah, he was. But yeah, and look, the Grizzlies aren't going to release the names anymore.
No, that's done. Like,
they don't want this information out there. Like, they, even from us, they would like it to remain as private as possible because they don't want any competition in signing some of these guys.
Yeah, I understand. And that's the way it's going.
Yeah, the early entry deadline was last weekend, and so literally starting on Sunday, they started working players out, like the day after. And so there's been a bunch of, I wouldn't say like, I'm sure there could have been some high-level players that came in here and worked out for the Grizzlies, like lottery-type guys, but for the most part, these are going to be players that they're going to potentially have interest in signing to a G League deal or signing as an undrafted player, or maybe if it, one of the two-way spots. And so, I think they are here working players out. I'm not sure how significant that is. There was another name I saw out there that got reported, and the name is escaping me, and I would have to search it. Not a name you would recognize, but a good college basketball player.
The lower level guys right now.
Yeah. So that's kind of where things stand at the moment. Last night was the deadline to submit for the players that they want to see at the combine. And so I would expect we're going to get that list pretty soon. And it's going to be kind of interesting because I think they're doing it differently this year, where at the combine, the players have to participate in, not in the games, but in the testing. Like you're going to be required. If you are invited to the combine, you're required to go and you're required to participate in the testing and in the interviews. And so that's a little bit of a change from what it was before. And, I think that's going to make for good content for us, because I'll be up there for the draft lottery in Chicago next weekend. Excellent. And like in the combine. And so we're going to get to talk to a lot of these guys. That's really when this is going to get into motion a little bit more. But right now it's just like, these are the guys that probably know they're going to go back to school.
Yep.
And they're here to get feedback and get a workout in and hear what some of the NBA teams have to say. But this is the front end, the very early stages of what this process will look like for the Grizzlies heading into that.
Drew, in terms of next year, and it's a question I asked Anthony Sain, I want to ask you too. In terms of next year, and David Griffin was just talking about how, you know, the New Orleans head man, front office man, was talking about how historically competitive basically the West is going to be next year. Like, we think it's great now. You know, they won 49 games and they're in the play-in. It's going to be even better next year. And you're looking obviously at the Grizzlies, Sacramento, obviously, maybe San Antonio, Houston, which are, what, won 10 and 11 in a row there, was threatening to be in the play-in too. You know, all those teams are going to come up. With all that, you know, obviously, and it's true. I mean, they're going to get better, whether they're playoff teams or not. Obviously, the Grizzlies will be. Just where do you see them? I know a lot of it's going to depend on the rest of the roster decisions, what you do at center, this draft pick. But based on this core that they have, and, you know, barring something unforeseen in terms of injury going into the season, how do they stack up to you? If they go get that center that we all think is certainly, you know, suitable or fits, it doesn't have to be an all-star, you know, what does this look like next year? Are you top four in this historically good West? Are you just trying to, you know, make the playoffs? What do you think?
I think they're top six. You know, top four, there's just so many good teams. It's hard to predict that. But I don't think they're a play-in team. I think they are a playoff team. And I get the sense that the franchise is pretty confident, too, in what they can accomplish next year, too. So they certainly view themselves that way. And this is, you know, they have to keep it realistic as possible. So I think the expectations are very high in terms of what they can do next season. I wonder, you're right, it's extremely competitive, and it will be extremely competitive because there's just too many competitive teams for it not to be. Mm-hmm. But you are going to have some shifting landscape in the West when we get to this offseason. Like, you wonder what's going to happen with the Clippers if this series doesn't go well. Sure. At least I do.
Sure.
And you definitely wonder what's going to happen with Golden State. Like, Golden State surely can't be ready to blow this up because they still have Steph Curry, you know.
True.
And they want to be competitive. But those are teams taking a step back right now. And so you may see some teams shift off of certain players. You're going to see some reorganization of the West, I think, before then. But the Grizzlies are a team that is clearly set in what they already have.
Yep.
That could make a move, but I'd be pretty shocked if it was like a big move outside of a draft or a trade for a big. So I think that the Grizzlies are set up pretty well. Like, they're not really asking too many questions about their future right now. They know what that looks like and what that is. They've seen it at its best. It's still going to be hard. I mean, you got to think about Denver's certainly going to be there in the top of the mix. Oklahoma City's certainly going to be there in the top of the mix. Minnesota certainly will be there in the top of the mix. So there's three teams right there. If you're talking about top four, like, you know, those teams are going to be competitive. Now, can you compete with those teams if you stay healthy? I think so. But, you know, there's a core of four teams that's already basically, I think, locked into those top six spots if they stay healthy. I mean, this is before we even get to Phoenix. You know, Phoenix is another team that could totally restructure if they can. I mean, that's going to be a difficult task to do at this point. But
so many teams.
But there's just so many teams, and I do think that Memphis belongs in the top six of that. And I would be surprised if they're not just a standard playoff team next year. I think they belong in that mix, and they've proven that they can play with those those top talents in the league. So, but Minnesota is interesting. Like Minnesota, the more I watch them,
I know
how good Anthony Edwards is.
It's come together.
They may be a force. Like they just may be really, really good for years to come, and that might be who we end up getting. We wanted that Golden State Grizzlies rivalry, but the way that the Golden State's sort of trending downward, and we already got a Ja and Anthony Edwards series. Like, I could totally see that, and I'd be all for that. That would be so fun.
Talking with Drew Hill, fantastic Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. You sort of lead me to my next question. Who's the biggest threat to Denver? Is it this Minnesota team that things seem to be coming together so well for? Is it this Dallas team? If they advance out, and it sure looks like they're in great position, you know, that's now playing defense, is like committed to playing defense. It was really impressive this whole series, just watching. It's not just team defense. I mean, Luka is more engaged. Which one of these teams that's left is the biggest threat to Denver?
Why are we discounting Oklahoma City? I'm not
They're
saying
not ready.
You or me.
I'll say it. I mean, I'll be one of them. I mean, I guess I could have thrown them in the conversation. If you want to put them one, I will certainly listen to it.
I just feel like they have everything. Like, yeah, they're young, but they have everything.
It was such an easy series for them, right? That in what they did, and that they haven't faced championship type DNA yet, and that would certainly be a different level, of, you know, facing Denver. That's just what I'd throw at you. But
yeah,
please.
I agree. But I'll say this: I think if they get Dallas, they're going to beat Dallas in a playoff series. I think Oklahoma City beats Dallas. I think Oklahoma City's getting to the conference final.
Marked and membered, my brother. They're going to beat Dallas. Okay. I like it.
I feel that way. They have more talent on the floor than Dallas does. Dallas is obviously top-heavy with their talent. But I think from an overall perspective, I like what Oklahoma City brings. I think Oklahoma City is a threat to get all the way to the NBA Finals this year. I feel that way, and it's because like they are led by a player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that has been in these moments before. They're an extremely young team, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has played in the league for a long time, it feels like, at this point. So I feel tremendous about fact that they have great leadership and young talent together. They've got rim protection. They shoot threes. J-Dub.
Yeah.
It gets compared to Desmond Bain a lot, and I see it. He produces in that way. I just feel like Oklahoma City is a big-time threat. That being said, Minnesota, I think to Denver in particular, Minnesota, because it's likely to happen, and because Anthony Edwards might be the best player that Denver has to play all the way up until the NBA Finals if they take on the Celtics, and maybe he's better than Tatum at this point. I mean, it's crazy to say that, but he's just been so unbelievable, and you could see it, like, even in that first playoff series against the Grizzlies, the guy has a killer mentality that is just unmatched, and I love watching him play. I love his personality. It's just fun to take all of that in.
You know to add to this point you're making, he got me, man. Remember that Grizzlies game where Jaren's going off and he tells them put me on him, you know, at 6'5" or whatever. I can't remember, you know, you'd remember it better than me in terms of the situation and at what point of the season that was. But he had asked to be switched off to Jaren, and basically, man, at 6'5", whatever he is, for the rest of the game, held Jaren down. Jaren had been going off, and it's. You know, as much as the high flying acrobatics and all that, and what he does offensively, he can get hot from three as good as the rest. It's his commitment to defense at such a young age. I mean, that just blows me away. And the fact that I'll go hold the 6'11" guy that's killing us. You put him in like that kind of 1-2 on D. I hadn't seen that in a while from a kid that young.
No, he's the full package.
Oh, my gosh.
He has the mentality very clearly. Like, just watch a basketball game, watch him play.
He wants it.
And it's you know, a lot of guys talk about having this killer mentality and all that, and, like, you can see it when Ja plays, right? Like,
yes.
But that's rare to be able to just see that. I think that's rare.
I agree.
At that level. And Anthony Edwards has that. And so I think he deserves all of our respect. So I think Minnesota is probably the biggest threat to Denver, just because I love the way that they match up too. Because you've got Gobert, in the paint, and you're going to put him on Jokic, and you've got Anthony Edwards, and you're going to put him on Murray, and we haven't even talked about Jaden McDaniels yet. And so I think that they certainly match up well with Denver and could win that series. But I do think that Oklahoma City, like I said, I think they're going to get to the conference finals. So if we're taking a team, like an upset team, to get past Denver and get out of the West, I think Oklahoma City has a pretty good path. They definitely have a chance at this point.
They do have a good path. Of course, talking to Drew Hill, again, fantastic Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. All right, Drew, I once had the Kentucky Derby on my bucket list of things to do, right, just to attend. You see all the pictures, it looks beautiful, you know, I want to go. Then I took it off the list when, you know, I had some other goals, whatever. Just kind of figured, well, that ain't me. Then I saw Brad in pink out there, dressed in pink out there, and one of his pictures, he's been, and it was back on for me again. But one thing I've never been is it's just not me. So school me. I hear you're a Kentucky Derby expert. Who should I be looking for in terms of Derby winner this weekend? Give me some names.
Yeah, I can give you a few names. I feel the responsibility to talk a little bit of horse racing as one of maybe five people in all of the city that actually cares about this stuff. So I'll try not to bore everybody.
No, school us, please.
The 17 is going to be the favorite fierceness in the race this weekend. He smoked pretty much everybody that he's already raced against in this field on three different occasions. The Florida Derby is one of the big prep races for the Kentucky Derby.
Yep.
And he won going away by like 6-7 lengths, just dominated. And the only red flag, I think, with this is a Todd Pletcher horse. Todd Pletcher's a trainer, obviously very, very well known. Very, very successful. So he has all of the pieces. He's got the speed numbers. He's got the marquee wins. The only red flag is that in two of these races that he's run five total, he just threw out a total dud. So if he comes out of the gate quick and he's on the outside, 17, it's not a bad post position to be. I think that he's going to win the race. Okay. That's boring, though, right? You don't want to pick the favorite because that's no fun. And then the Kentucky Derby, the favorite, rarely wins. I do think he's going to win about 50% of the time if they run this thing. So I think if you're going to be betting on the race, if you're going to bet a horse just to win, I like other horses more. But if you're going to bet an exotic, like an exact of the top two horses in order or a trifecta of the top three horses in order, I would probably have 17 in that mix because he's just that good of a horse.
Wow.
The other one is the number two horse, Sierra Leone, and that's a deep closer. That's like one of the horses that will be in the very back of the field, but he has insane speed going to the wire. He has insane speed down the last stretch of the race. He won the Bluegrass Stakes, which is another one of the big prep races in Lexington, and won it in pretty dominant fashion. What I don't like is there's rain in the forecast, and so if it rains, I think when I checked this morning, the two, Sierra Leone, was like 8-1 or 9-1, which is not a bad payout. What I don't like is when it rains, the track gets muddy. And when the track gets muddy, the kickback from these horses is a lot more thick and not enjoyable for these horses to be running in. Mm-hmm. So if you're a closer and you're coming from the back on a wet track, I typically try to avoid those types of horses. So I'll go with a totally different horse, the 8, if you're going to pick a horse to win, this is who I'll go with. Just a Touch,
just a
the
touch.
8.
Yeah, I'm looking for
which is the sire there is Justify, a Triple Crown winning horse. So the dad of the horse is Justify. Obviously has extremely good pedigree there. Just a Touch is going to get to the front. He's going to run from the front. He's going to be, you know, maybe two or three paces back, and he's a horse that got beat by Sierra Leone, the two, in his last race. But I don't think we've seen the best of him. He's only run three races. He's definitely a bit of a mystery, but that's a mystery that I think you're willing to take a chance on if you're trying to hit big on the Kentucky Derby. And I think everybody, that's the goal for everybody, right? You want to put $2 down and try to win a bunch of money. If that's your goal, and I think that's probably what most people in Memphis will be doing this weekend, that's the horse that I would probably play, although, you know,
I've already bet on it. I have the 17 on top of the 8 and the 2 in an exact situation. So 17 to finish first, 8 and 2 to come in second. One of the two just needs to come in, and you will win. So that is my official Kentucky Derby play.
Outstanding.
I'm sorry for boring all of you guys.
Oh, you did, man. And listen, I'm sure John's sitting at home on the couch on paternity leave. He's writing these down, Drew, so I appreciate you handing out your picks.
I'll bet on him, and everybody can bet against me and you.
And then we could always fade, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, Brad, who's your winner? Can you give us a winner?
Well, based on no research and just listening to your recap, the 17 fierceness.
Winner.
I mean, yeah. He's the favorite, though. You can't bet on the favorite to win the damn thing. And if he's thrown out a clunker, you said he's thrown out a couple of clunkers in his last five. I like this Sierra Leone, and God knows they need help. So Sierra Leone, yeah.
All right, Drew. Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No, appreciate you schooling us, brother. He is Drew Hill. Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. Make sure you're reading him at dailymemphian.com. You can follow him on X at @DrewHill_DM. I see that there is some disappointing news out there in terms of Tigers recruiting. TJ Bamba's made a decision. We'll tell you where he's headed on the other side. You listen to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.